It is time now for Media Watch, our monthly program with the latest news on IT and media topics. I am Jeff Otto.
And I'm Michelle Yamamoto. Jeff, today's topic is something of growing interest for listeners to Radio Japan. Isn't that right?
Yes, it is. In close-up, we'll be looking at the issues and prospects of digital international radio broadcasting, paying special attention to DRM. You will enjoy this.
DRM. It's not obvious what that really means. What does it mean?
DRM stands for Digital Radio Mondiale. It is a standard for digital radio broadcasting.
Digital broadcasting.
Yes. Japan discontinued analog TV broadcasting at the end of March 2012, and with the switch of all TV broadcasts to the digital format. The shift to digital is now advancing in the world of radio as well. DRM is one of the digital radio standards, and it applies mainly to shortwave radio.
And shortwave is exactly what we are broadcasting on. So what will happen when shortwave goes digital?
First of all, we will be able to enjoy the programs with sound quality that is every bit as good as on FM. Also, because shortwave radio is suited to long-distance broadcasting, if the power output is big enough, then these digitally broadcast programs can be heard all over the world. DRM is a dream broadcasting service that combines the advantages of both digital and shortwave.
So it is also a very exciting technology in view of the global trend among international broadcasters to shift out of shortwave or switch to internet broadcasting.
And here is Ruxandra Obreja, the chairman of the DRM Consortium, which promotes DRM. She tells us first about the present state of digital shortwave broadcasting.
Well, the DRM Digital Radio Mondiale is a global open digital radio system. It is the youngest of all the systems. A new radio technology means, in effect, building up a total new network, total new way of looking at content, way of blending data with audio and giving listeners a complete experience which they have never had over radio. The interest is global. If there were enough receivers, probably about half the world's population would have access to a DRM signal. And slowly, countries are looking at the DRM solution and really examining how feasible it is.
On that subject, how would we receive digital shortwave broadcasts? Are DRM receivers being sold in Japan?
The question of receivers is a sticking point. Just a few different types of DRM receivers are now on the market. Unfortunately, not a single company now makes them in Japan. The cheapest receiver currently being sold in other countries still costs nearly $100, and it is really very hard to call it a market success so far. Keith Perrone, who has been involved in the media business for many years and now runs a radio station in Taiwan, he is here to explain why the receivers aren't spreading so well in the market as follows.
DRM, I'd like to begin by first saying, and I think it's important to say this, I'm a very strong supporter of DRM. I think it is an excellent technology. There were a lot of demonstrations about how good it is, how it sounds, but the big problem was there were no receivers. Let's say, in Africa, for example, to pay upwards of $150 for a DRM receiver. And I have to say, for that price, I can buy a much better mobile phone or a much better analog shortwave receiver. What is the point to come out with a radio if there's no content to listen to? Considering that in many parts of the day, maybe there's only 1 hour here or 3 hours here, who's going to buy it? You know, it boils down to who's going to buy a DRM radio just to hear only 3 hours of BBC programming a day when they can get it 24/7 on the internet and on their mobile phones?
So if there aren't many programs to listen to, people aren't so likely to go out specially and buy an expensive DRM receiver.
And Keith also says, though, that people living in places which don't get much information or where the government keeps a tight control on it, they do want objective information from third parties. He says potential demand for DRM could be quite large in such places, and that if the programs are good, people will surely listen to them by any available means.
So it doesn't sound as if the future for DRM is all that bright.
Well, we shouldn't be so pessimistic. In fact, moves that may decide the future of DRM have already started in India. The decision has been made to use DRM for the domestic broadcasting network, and the test broadcasts have begun. R.K. Jain is engineer-in-chief of All India Radio. He told us about the DRM strategy.
The radio market, what we have, basically we have this more than 90% coverage through medium wave. And our FM coverage is only about 45%. And we cannot abandon medium wave. And we wanted to improve the quality on medium wave because the listenership was going down. So as such, we had to replace the transmitter. So what we are doing is we are putting an incremental cost. We are spending an incremental cost, and all these transmitters are DRM capable. But the main question is of the receivers. The receivers are very costly. But I'm happy that some big companies in India, they have developed prototype and they are trying their best to bring down the cost. And maybe soon it will come in the market.
Jain hopes that once DRM becomes the domestic broadcasting standard in India, then cheaper receivers will become available.
So DRM can survive?
Of course. Other countries are adopting DRM, too. One example is New Zealand. DRM is perfect for providing a stable broadcasting service across to neighboring countries made up of many small islands. Keith, however, who we heard from a moment ago, says that these efforts do really need to take root now, or the future of DRM could be bleak.
The future of DRM? I will predict, and I predicted this already, but I predict that within the next 5 years, or maybe 6 years, the DRM consortium and DRM as a technology, it will just be part of technology history. I see it going in the way of technology history, because developing countries like India and Brazil, you know, there's newer technologies that are coming along that are easier to implement, especially if you're building up an infrastructure, than DRM.
And that was Close Up.
And now here's some music. Please enjoy Transistor Radio by RC Succession.
Now we have some information for our listeners. NHK World Radio Japan English service will change some of its frequencies starting Sunday, October 28th.
The broadcast at 5 hours UTC for Southern Africa, now aired on 11.970 MHz, will be shifted to 9.770 MHz.
The broadcast at 10 and 12 hours UTC for Southeast Asia, now aired at 9.695 MHz, will be shifted to 11.740 MHz.
The broadcast at 13 hours UTC for Southwest Asia, now aired on 15.735 MHz, will be shifted to 11.730 MHz.
The broadcast at 14 hours UTC for Southeast Asia, now aired on 11.705 MHz, will be shifted to 11.925 MHz. And broadcast at 14 hours UTC for Southwest Asia, now aired on 15.735 MHz, will be shifted to 11.695 MHz.
We apologize for any inconvenience resulting from these changes and look forward to receive your reception report.
User manual. To finish, we have our user manual corner in which we introduce the various services of Radio Japan. We have already told you in a previous program about the iPhone and iPad apps which Radio Japan began to provide in June. These apps let you hear the news and programs and also read news text in 10 languages. A lot of listeners have been telling us how much they appreciate these apps. But, Michelle, we have also been receiving questions from listeners who don't use an iPhone or iPad.
That is right. The most common question of all is whether we can also hear programs on a smartphone or tablet computer that uses the Android operating system.
Yes, obviously a lot of people do use the Android smartphones. An Android app is being developed but isn't offered yet. It is, though, possible in the meantime to combine various existing apps to enjoy the news and programs on Android. That is what we will tell you how to do today.
First, you will need to obtain the software for listening to news and programs and reading the scripts. The basic part is the Internet browser software. Instead of using the special apps, access the Radio Japan website on the Internet. You will find both on-demand and live streaming audio services there. This software is certainly included in the Android products too.
Next, you will need to install software for playing audio. Go to Google Play, which is a search and management software package, and look for the software to play ASX files. Their freeware items include products like Zaya Live and Mobo Player. We recommend Zaya Live because it lets you listen to programs in the background while using other apps.
Now we are fully ready. First, go to the Radio Japan website. The address is www.nhk.or.jp/nhkworld/english/radio. On the website, you'll find a number of listen buttons to play audio on demand, as well as the Now on Air button. Click on one of them.
In the case of news, a new window will now open, and you are given the choice of using either the Windows Media or the MP3 audio file format. Click whichever one you like. This window doesn't appear, though, when listening to a program.
Next, a window called Complete Action for Using will open. Now on that list, choose, for example, the Zaya Live application which you have just downloaded. There's a checkbox at the bottom of the Complete Action for Using window. Check Use by Default for this action to skip this process from the next time around.
Now, you can enjoy the news and program audio. You can also read the website information at the same time. If you are listening to one of the languages, which also has news text, you can read the text while listening, too.
It will certainly be more convenient when the special software becomes available, as it already is for the iPhone and iPad. But this is, anyhow, a very nice way to begin. That was our user manual corner.
And here's a song called G-Gum by Eiichi Otaki. Please enjoy. We are always pleased to receive your comments and suggestions. Our address is English Section, Radio Japan, NHK World, 1508001, Japan. Thank you for tuning in. Please join us again. From our NHK studios in Tokyo, I'm Jeff Otto.
And I'm Michelle Yamamoto.